You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes, why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. If you're listening to us on the go, you can catch us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and pretty much anywhere else you can listen to podcasts. I am your host, Sean, and I am here with the other host of Cinematic Adventures. His name is Paul. Paul, how are you?
I'm good, Sean. Thank you for asking. That was very nice of you.
What kind of guy would I be if I didn't want to know how you were doing?
You'd be Sean.
Really?
A little bit.
You really think that way?
You'd be Ronnie.
Well, since you said that, you know how to read a room, because, hey, he's sitting right here. Ronnie!
Oh, hey!
Welcome! So for any of you who don't know who Ronnie is, I don't know why you wouldn't, because he's the face of this show and all the other shows on our network.
I do all the work. I do everything.
Yes, but you have a face for radio.
Ronnie's the mascot.
You know what? I'll actually go with that. That's fine.
Ronnie is visiting us from the Multiverse Fancast. Ronnie, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
That is awesome. I am great, too.
Yes. You
know. I thought that was going to be your answer for a second. That is awesome. How are you today? That is awesome.
That is awesome.
That is great.
Yes. But it's a good day. We're here. We're you know, just Ronnie showed up and we're like, hey, Ronnie, you want to be on the episode? Sure. What are you talking about? We don't know. But we've decided that we are going to talk about the 1985 adventure comedy, The Goonies. And the reason we chose The Goonies, well, at least the reason I chose The Goonies, pretty much was because of the resurgence of one of its actors, Ke Huy Quan, who just recently won the Golden Globe for...
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
It's such a mouthful. I can never remember that, the name of that movie. And I still haven't seen it.
They call
it E-E-A-O.
E-E-A-O?
E-E-A-O.
Everything.
Right. You know what? I did get a chance to see it, and I want to do an episode on it for one of our shows.
I will try and watch it.
Because it is... It was very interesting.
It's a front runner right now for Oscars for a lot of categories. Mm-hmm. You know, he's probably going to win again. I think Michelle Yeoh is a clear front runner for Best Actress, and the movie itself is a clear front runner for Best Picture. So, right. And isn't it funny how I know Black Panther got a lot of accolades, and I think Black Panther: Wakanda Forever. I know Angela Bassett's a front runner for her performance, mm-hmm. but like that kind of movie when it's not a Marvel or a DC movie gets all the praise. But if Marvel did that movie, it probably would have gotten nothing.
Yeah.
It's interesting, you know. I haven't seen it, so I'm not judging the movie. I'm sure the movie's fantastic. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, we got a multiverse movie with Spider-Man. We got a multiverse movie with Doctor Strange. Spider-Man was much better than Doctor Strange, but Spider-Man got no love at all from anything. But that's the Academy Awards, so,
it's weird. We did an episode about the Academy Awards.
We did. I'm still not over The Dark Knight not getting nominated for Best Picture.
I'm still not over Batman vs. Superman not getting nominated for Best Picture, ever.
Yeah, I know. That's such a crime.
He's the only one.
Academy Award winning Zack Snyder's Justice League.
But we are going to be talking about The Goonies, and this, in my opinion, is one of the definitive 80s movies. Like... We wouldn't have Stranger Things if it wasn't for this movie.
Oh, facts.
Stranger Things is a true homage to The Goonies. Monster Squad, which you've heard us talk about numerous times, only came out 2 years later. But that is literally...
The Goonies with Monsters.
The Goonies with Monsters. I mean, this is such a fun-loving movie. And when you look at the people behind this movie who were in charge of making it, you have Richard Donner directing it, the man who gave us Superman... The Lethal Weapon franchise. You have Chris Columbus writing the screenplay.
Who's that?
He's the one that sailed the Ocean Blue.
Oh, good, that's good, right. Good. We don't talk about him anymore then.
We don't?
No. We don't talk about Bruno either.
But he would, of course, go on to make Home Alone, Harry Potter, all that. And then we have a guy by the name of Steven Spielberg who produced it. Steven Spielberg.
I don't think I've ever heard of him.
He made a lot of alien movies, made a movie about a shark.
Oh, yeah. That guy.
I always watch E.T. before a prostate exam, just because of the finger thing.
In case you want to phone home?
No, just in case.
The finger gets him in the mood.
Yeah.
But
just a glowing tip.
It's like, why are you glowing? Don't worry about it.
Well, maybe his finger can light up or something. You know, Steven, whatever you feel like.
It's a flashlight.
Flashlight.
Flashlight. Yes.
This episode's really going off the rails.
Really? You know, it's like every other episode.
Haven't even made it to the commercial break.
How about we take a break?
No, it's only 5 minutes. All right.
You just literally were like, we didn't even make the commercial
break. No, let's do initial thoughts on the
Goonies.
Initial
thoughts, Paul, on the Goonies.
So I love the Goonies. It is a fantastic movie, as long as you don't look at it through a critical lens under any circumstances, because it makes no sense.
But I think that's what's so good about it.
Especially the ending. The ending is the most nonsensical thing. They're selling the town tomorrow. They have no choice legally, but they have to sign one document that the dad then rips up. Oh, by the way, spoilers for the Goonies.
Yeah.
Just because they give him a pocket full of costume jewelry. Like,
it's not costume
jewelry. He knows just from looking at it, like, this is enough to save the town.
Yeah.
$15. Oh, man. Shouldn't have done that.
And then the boat escapes from the hidden lair and it's just sailing out into the ocean.
Yeah. So this movie has a fair amount of just, it is like a weird science like type movie where if you look at it really critically, it makes less sense.
I think it's similar to the Indiana Jones films, that it's sort of and it's an homage to the old 30s and 40s, you know, where these movies just don't make much sense. All right,
Who'd win in a fight? Short Round or Data? Ooh, Short Round can throw hands.
Short Round can throw hands. Data just had all the weird gadgets.
He was an Inspector Gadget.
I think Short Round would win. Yeah. I think Short Round just had brute force behind him.
Like he throws down with like that.
He punches a girl.
He does. That's right.
I don't know. I mean, Data got the boxing glove.
Was that a girl?
No, the prince. No, it was a prince. Yeah, I think it was a prince. But Short Round's, you know, he can fight. But Data
was a girl.
Well, you know, it's 2023. Get woke. But Data, though, his gadgets only worked like 90% of the time.
Saved his life.
Yeah. But
one time it worked, it saved his life.
Yes.
Yeah. So the best is when they would throw one of his gadgets in just for that shot, like the boxing glove.
Yeah.
You can tell in the shot beforehand, he didn't have that in there.
Oh, no.
But then it cuts and suddenly his jacket's like sticking out and it's like, oh, by the way, I've got this.
Yeah. And this is fresh off Temple of Doom. I mean, he literally goes from making Temple of Doom to making this movie.
Yeah. And for me, like you watch the Goonies and the Goonies wouldn't be made the same way today. Even if they
all special effects,
it wouldn't even not even the special effects aspect, just the way that the kids talk.
Well, you see that in Monster Squad too.
You see them in the Sandlot.
Well, yeah, but Sandlot takes place in the 60s.
But what I'm saying is, there was a point in our filmmaking history, like we grew up on these kind of movies where they were very liberal. Like Chunk's first line is "Oh shit."
Yeah.
Like nowadays, though, you can't do a Goonies is PG.
Yeah, be PG-13.
Is it PG-13?
Yeah. No, it would be PG-13.
It would be PG-13.
You made the same exact movie today, it'd be PG-13.
But they don't have kids doing that as much anymore. They've really gotten very conservative about child actors and what kind of language they use.
Yeah.
You know, they fat shame Chunk. Like, it's a very different movie. Ronnie's sitting over there giggling.
It's the same exact thing when I watched Monster Squad. I love that movie, but I'm afraid to show it to people at some point because there is very politically incorrect language in the movie. But you also have to understand, like, it's the times.
Yeah. So we've talked about a lot of movies. Like, did we talk about Bill and Ted? I think we did an episode on Bill.
We did Bill and Ted. We did the first one.
I think we talked a little bit about Bogus. But the first Bill and Ted, I always think about this. Everybody loves Bill and Ted. Like, they are just universally loved characters. To the point where even when the new movie came out, even though it was okay, people still liked it because it was Bill and Ted. And they you know, they're likable guys. They use a gay slur at each other in the first movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like that was just the times, unfortunately.
I mean, that's exactly the same. Again, same thing in this, same thing in Monster Squad, same thing in most 80s movies. I mean, look at the Back to the Future. I mean, I don't think you would, if they did it again today, it would not be the Libyan, no, not that, the Libyan terrorists. They would always cut that scene out on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. It's just, what are you going
to
do?
But for me, like I'm able to look at a movie through my lens, like of watching is like
rose colored glasses.
Not even the rose colored glasses, because I at least acknowledge. I was like, oh, they couldn't do that nowadays.
Yeah,
acknowledge it, but I don't preach it. I don't go like, oh God,
the day they
try
and cancel the Goonies will be.
They're not gonna do that.
They would never.
But what I'm saying, going back to it, like, you know, initial thoughts. It is such a great, fun adventure movie. It is a kid wish fulfillment movie. It is like the adventure we all wanted to go on as kids.
Yeah,
like to the point where like. You can imagine that's a lot in their heads. Like, it's just their imagination taking over.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's my initial thoughts. Also, Mouth, just coolest guy ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Corey Feldman?
Corey Feldman, he's great.
Oh, the scene of him talking Spanish?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That scene alone would get you a PG-13 rating. That's where they keep great. The sex toys
and sex torture devices and the drugs.
All right, Ronnie.
Ronnie.
I think this is a great movie. This is a movie that I think is a movie that you have to watch, like, with your kids. Like, when you have your kids.
Oh, this is a rite of passage.
Yeah, this is one of those, like, you have to make them sit down and watch it. Yes, to today's standards, it's, in a way, like, rough to watch some of the stuff, like the special effects and everything, because we've been so spoiled by technology when it comes to that.
Yeah, there's some scenes where you could tell the effects are wonky, but again, most of it, it's practical.
Yeah,
the pirate ship is all practical.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That is still incredible. Again,
for the time that it came out, it was phenomenal, the effects. You know, but now it's like, again, just been spoiled with stuff. So, but I think this movie holds up. This, to me, is a classic. And again, for me, a classic just has to be something that you make your kids watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's movies that, you know,
a movie your parents show your kids.
You know, it goes on from generation to generation, not just like, oh, watch this movie, it's good. It's like, no. You have to watch this movie. It's that good. No. You know.
You're 6 years old, you can appreciate this movie.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think it's so iconic. It is hard to meet someone that has not seen or heard about this movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think one of the first times I met you, Paul would be like, hey, Ronnie, do the truffle shuffle.
Yes.
And I was like, he can do the truffle shuffle? And Paul's like, yeah, he can do the truffle shuffle. And literally, like, the first, like, three times I met you, like, each three times you did the truffle shuffle. Now, we were also probably intoxicated at the time, but, you know.
Most likely.
In Paul's basement.
Yeah, right?
Wait, where are we? Oh, crap. It's a full circle.
Yeah, it's a very uncomfortable circle. Oh, man. When are you guys going to go home?
We've been here for years.
Oh, God. This is...
Yeah.
All right. Well, for me, this movie definitely stands out as just one of those absolutely rewatchable classics that, you know, every, like, couple months, you put it on, you enjoy it, you watch it from beginning to end, and I love the cast. I mean, the cast is so great. A lot of these kids went on to be, like, you know, fairly decent stars. Some of them, you know, it took a longer time to become big stars.
One of them destroyed half the universe.
I was about to say, one guy snapped his fingers and killed a lot of people, so, you know.
More jewels.
But I love the practical effects. I love the story. I love the villains. The kids are hysterical. Mm-hmm. Like, each one of them has a different personality. There's not, like, any kid that's, you know, similar to another kid. They all are different. And it's just that us against the world mentality, you know. They're you know, trying to save their home. They're also, like, the outcast kids. It's just that traditional storyline that always works. And it really is just a lot of fun. I fully hope anyone out there who has not seen this movie, go and watch it, because it's a treasure. It really is. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to dive into, as we talked about, the cast of this movie, and we will be right back after this.
Hey guys, it's Paul, and the Misfit Faction is looking for your help. We are trying to grow not only our network, but also grow our brands. And the best way to do that is if you guys are looking to start your very own podcast. Maybe you guys have been listening to us for a while. Maybe it's something you guys have always wanted to do, but you're not sure how to get started. If you go to podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys will get a month of free podcasting on set as a gift from us. So make sure if you guys are looking to start your own show, you reach out to us and go to podbean.com/misfitfaction. Also, maybe you guys have your own online business or service. You're always looking to grow, and advertising is a very big part of that. If you guys go to sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys can get $100 worth of free advertising, again, as a thank you from us to you guys. That's sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction.
And we're back, and Paul's going to take us into the cast of the Goonies. Paul, why don't you take it off?
I would love to. So we have Sean Astin as Michael Mikey Walsh, because that is his nickname, Mikey.
Mikey likes it.
Yeah, he likes it. So Mikey is the like the de facto leader of this little ragtag group of Goonies, the Goondock Kids, as that's where the name comes from, mm-hmm. just in case you guys were wondering. Obviously, Sean Astin goes on to some big fame with stupid Lord of the Rings.
Encino Man.
And that's fair too, Encino Man. Stranger Things.
51st Dates.
51st Dates.
Wow. The most uncomfortable performance ever.
He wore a lot of mesh in that, but anyway.
You're welcome for that image.
Yeah. One of my biggest issues is with Mikey and the fact that sometimes he has braces, sometimes he doesn't. No big deal.
Yeah.
See, I don't think I've ever noticed it.
Yeah, that is a concept. By the way, keep an eye out for
continuity.
Keep an eye out for next week's Fan Feedback Friday.
Uh-oh.
And we got Josh Brolin as Brandon Brand Walsh. Man, the Walsh has really got, like, hosed on the nicknames. But cool older brother, except not cool older brother. Like, they go to both tropes where he's, like, the cool older brother to Mikey, but to, like, his peers, he's still a loser. Like, they try and murder him.
Yeah.
They try and legitimately... Yep.
Well, they, not he, not the girls. The girls are in the car, and they're trying to, like, you know, help him.
Accomplices. But okay, anyway.
That's fair.
We got...
Paul pull him over.
Yeah, no, right. Jeff Cohen as Lawrence Chunk Cohen. Oh, wow, what are the odds?
He steals the movie. Chunk is...
Which is ironic, because he's not with the kids for most of it.
No, I mean, he gets separated later on, but he's just... Oh, my God, he's hysterical.
He One of really my favorite funny. Scenes from him is when he's eating the ice cream.
Yeah. No. I like the scene where he's just confessing about everything. Yes. Apparently, he did that all himself.
He did that all himself, and you could see the reaction on Robert Davi's face, and he is trying not to laugh. Yeah. And he goes, like, I really like this kid.
Yeah. So it's a shame we didn't see him do more.
Yeah, I don't think he really did much after this. I don't know if he left the business.
Lost weight.
No, he definitely. He looks totally...
Looks great. We got Corey Feldman as Clark Mouth Devereaux. As much as I love Chunk and Sloth, especially, Mouth is probably one of my favorite characters. I think he's funny. I think just...
Oh, he is hysterical. I mean, he's like... He's supposed to be what are they all supposed to be, like 13?
I'd say like 12, 13. 13-ish.
But he acts like he's like 15.
Yeah.
Just he's one of those kids who just acts older
than
he really is.
He's the cool one of their group.
Yeah.
Who's the one? I'm in the club, aren't I? From the Monster Squad?
Oh, yeah. Rudy,
yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of like the Rudy-ish, I guess. Yeah. But
the closest thing we got to it. Yeah. All right, I'm going to try. Ki-Hwai Ko- I can't say it.
You overemphasized the Hwai, and you get tongue-tied.
What's his name?
Ki-Hwai Kwan.
As Data. Got him. I love Data. He's fun. The James Bond stuff is hilarious. The fact that he goes through their door in the first scene.
Yes.
As he's playing the music.
How pissed would your parents be if you had a friend who continually did that?
Every single time, too.
Infinite is the answer. Infinite.
Like, Data, open the door. How hard is it to open a screen door? Come on, guys.
I think my parents would be more upset if I created a Rube Goldberg-type contraption to open the door.
That was awesome.
Oh, it's really cool.
I wish I could do that.
In a very Pee-wee's Playhouse kind of way. Yeah. But, like, I feel like my parents would be really upset. Like, just open the door. Why are you not? What are you doing?
Because what if you're sitting on the couch and you got Cheeto dust on your fingers?
Why is this so specific?
What are you watching as you have the Cheeto dust on your fingers?
Hopefully not something you need your hands for.
I was thinking like the Goonies or something.
Are those crumbs on the potato or potato chip crumbs? Yeah. Anywho, we got Carrie Green as Andrea Andy Carmichael, the weird two of them love interest. Like, you know, Mikey's in love with her, and so is Brand. And
I don't know if Mikey's in love with her.
She makes out with him, and then he's like,
it's because she was blind at the time.
No, it's because it was in a dark tunnel.
It was in a dark tunnel. That scene I find hysterical.
Yeah.
Yep. We got Martha Pimpleton as Stephanie Steph.
Did you just say Pimpleton?
Oh, Plimpton. Excuse me. I'm reading from a distance, and I'm older now. As Stephanie Steph Steinbrenner, Andy's best friend.
I'm the one with glasses.
Yeah.
I'm the one doing the damn list, so just shut up.
I'm the one here making fun of both of you.
He's got a 52-inch computer screen. You can't see it.
I think he's done now.
Yeah, there's no more. That's it.
Oh, come on.
We got Anne Ramsey as Mama Fratelli. Robert Davi.
Davi, I believe. I believe that's right.
Yeah, well, good job, Sean.
Thank you.
As Jake Fratelli, one of the counterfeiters. Joe
Pantoliano.
Pantoliano. Nice Irish name.
Yeah.
As Francis Fratelli. John Matuszak?
Yeah.
Matuszak.
Why did you make me do this if you know all these names?
He wanted to see you struggle.
Not really. I didn't think he'd struggle. I'm sorry.
As Sloth, probably the greatest hero of all time.
Hey, you guys!
That's actually just going to be the title of the episode, and we're going to let people figure
it out.
With
a Superman shirt.
Oh, yeah. It's for Sloth to avoid copyright issues.
It's not copyright because it's Warner Brothers.
And they play the song.
And they play the music.
We got Mary Ellen Trainer as Irene Walsh, Mikey Brandt's mom.
She's like in every 80s movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The mom.
Keith Walker as Irving Walsh. Oh, God, imagine being named Irving. Sorry if your name's Irving.
Irving Magic Johnson.
Yeah. And let's see. We got Lupe Ontiveros as Rosalita. Steve Anton as Troy Perkins. Kurt Hansen as Mr. Perkins. Michael Paul Chan as Data's dad. Charles McDaniel as Chunk's father. Paul Troupe as the sheriff. And George Robertson as Robothan as the prison guard. We also have director Richard Donner. I'm tired. It's been a long day. He makes a cameo as a deputy. The film cinematographer Nick McLean also has a cameo as Mouth's dad. And the part of the dead FBI agent was performed by stuntman Ted Grossman.
Well, thank you, Paul. That was awesome.
It was not.
I'll give you a
solid like B+.
Sloth would have done better.
No, he wouldn't have.
I don't know about that.
Maybe if I gave him a Baby Ruth bar?
Maybe. Maybe.
Baby Ruth?
Are Baby Ruths even still around?
Yes, they are.
Okay. I'm not a big candy guy. So
you ever notice you don't see commercials for candy or a lot of cereal anymore?
Nope. Unless it's Valentine's or Halloween.
I think Honey Nut Cheerios is like... Isn't Honey Nut Cheerios the only real cereal you see like anymore?
Commercials for?
Do you see Frosted Flake commercials?
They're not great.
No.
Like, I haven't seen a Fruity Pebble commercial in probably like a decade.
The closest thing I've seen to a Trix commercial is the scene in Ted 2 where Liam Neeson buys Trix that he thinks are exclusively for children.
Or the Asian Trix in Family Guy.
That's
you share!
Yeah. All right, so back to Data.
So back to Data. Oh, all right, well, I'm going to jump into the plot of this movie, and it's pretty basic. So I just want to point out the opening scene of this movie because I think it is so fantastic. It opens up in the jail cell in this Oregon town, and the Robert Davi character, he is one of the Fratelli brothers. He is in prison, and the guard finds him hanging, thinking he's dead. Well, he turns out he's not dead. So he escapes, and him, his mother, and his brother go on a police chase throughout the town. And in the scene, you pretty much see every character and their either reaction to the chase or their non-reaction to the chase. I just think it's a great setup for all. First of all, you see all the characters, you kind of get a hint of what they're all about.
Yeah.
And it, plus the, obviously the car chase is fun, and it just really just sets everything up. And you're like, immediately you're like, okay, here we go. This is going to be one of those movies that just doesn't stop. There's like no slow point of this movie. So I really enjoy that. Mm-hmm. And then we get to Mikey and Brand's house, and it's pretty much the hangout, and that's where we fully get introduced to all the characters.
Yeah.
Data, Chunk, and Mouth, and the two girls show up later.
And Brand
is there with Mikey, and then you find out that basically the entire town has been, or the entire area of the town has been bought and is going to be turned into a golf course, I guess, of some sort.
Yeah.
And they all have pretty much a day left, which is kind of effed up.
I wonder how that sort of process works. Like, you need the permission of all the homeowners. Like, I don't know.
That's the thing. I mean, it's
eminent domain.
You know, it's a coastal town.
Yeah.
The houses are not shacks.
No.
So, like, these people have no money.
There's
like
a museum there.
I know. Yeah. It's like, I just don't. Of course, we're kind of splitting hairs here. That's something they don't really dwell into, is how did this happen? Doesn't matter. It doesn't end up happening, but it's just, you always, there's always parts of these things where you're like, oh, I wonder how this even started to happen,
Yeah.
And you question it, and nothing comes of it. But when you first meet the characters, you say Mouth is your favorite character, any other characters really stand out for you, or just he's like
the statue where they break the penis? The statue is
maybe your mom won't notice. That's her favorite part.
It's upside down. Is he peeing up? Yeah.
He's peeing your face.
Yeah. Gross. But steals the show. I mean, you can't look away when that guy's on screen.
Mouth?
No, the statue.
Oh, the statue. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, just, yeah. But I love how Chunk is an absolute klutz. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And
bet you guys thought I was going to drop it. Crash. Oh. Yeah.
When they go up to the attic and Mikey sees the map in the picture frame and he's like, he's like, Chunk, come on over here. He gives it to Chunk, and he's literally counting.
Yes.
He's like, one, two, three.
Yep.
I love it. Oh. I absolutely love it. So good. But what, Ronnie, who's your favorite character?
I think we all know Chunk.
Okay, that's fair.
Chunk.
Yeah. I thought he was going to say Mikey and Brand's mom.
Has got it going on.
Mikey and Brand's mom.
I mean, only for the four scenes she's in.
Yeah, right?
I like how she goes grocery shopping. like they're not moving tomorrow.
Yeah, well, they gotta eat. What are they gonna eat?
Yeah, but
pizza.
Did you see how much stuff you bought?
It's Oregon. They don't have pizza in Oregon.
They true. Don't have good pizza in Oregon. Yeah, right? Sorry if you live in Oregon. I'm being mean to a lot of people nowadays.
It's all right.
That's fine.
Don't worry about it. But no, I think he's my favorite just because he is the comedic aspect of this. Yeah. You know, and again, like we said, like we wish we had more of him, but when he was on, he stole every single scene.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he is the most iconic character from that movie as well, other than Sloth.
That's fair. That's fair. What about you, Sean? Who's your favorite character?
Mikey.
Brand.
Nah.
Brand's elastic workout pants.
No, Brand got overpowered by three, like, 10-year-olds, and they, like, you know, stretched the resistant bands around him. I always thought that was
he could barely stretch.
I thought of Paul with that. I was like, I think that would happen to Paul. Paul would never let that happen.
That same outfit, too.
You got that same outfit?
I wish. Oh, man.
Oh, you really? Okay.
Yeah, Brand.
You're not a sweatband guy, though. I don't see you as a sweatband guy.
Because I don't have one.
But why not?
I have 5,000 Tough Mudder ones.
Yeah, but that's not a sweatband.
You're not a sweatband.
You have 5,000?
Probably.
So I threw out all my headbands.
We volunteered and I stole all mine. Anywho, keep talking.
Okay, because I don't know where to go from there.
Your favorite character?
My favorite character, I love Data.
You love Data? You're a Data guy?
I like Data.
See, that's a testament to this movie that we all have different favorite characters.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There are so many
They're
movies.
All great. Oh, like, yeah. I don't dislike any character, but Data is just... I just think he's, like... He's so, like...
You?
Not really. I never was like that.
I can see. Well, he's obsessed with the movie.
Well, he's obsessed with the movie, but I would never come up with those gadgets.
I mean, I'm sure you've thought about it.
Not really.
Did you ever try in Home Alone? Did you like, you know, set up Home Alone?
I didn't have a house that
what,
really
set like up just paint set up cans.
Well, I mean, I didn't do that, but I used to set up like Home Alone style traps, but
for
whoever was trying to get in my room. Get out of here.
I used to do the. You put something on the top of the door, so then when somebody opens up the door, it falls on their head. Sure. Nothing like hard to like hurt them. It was always like a stuffed animal or like a pillow or something like that.
Dead body.
Like, yeah, a dead body. Something along those lines.
The funny thing is, Ronnie just kept doing it for his closet door, and he couldn't figure out why nobody was falling for it.
Right? I was waiting for someone to come out of the
closet. All right. Well, we've established who our favorite characters are, so... They find the treasure map, and they've decided that they are going to go off and try and find One-Eyed Willie's treasure.
Yes.
Apparently, this is a big town, you know, story that, you know, for years people have been looking for this. There was one older guy back in, like, the 30s who vanished.
Chester Copperpot,
thank you. And no one ever saw him again. Everybody don't know what happened to him. So they actually find their way to this deserted restaurant.
It's a restaurant.
Restaurant. And little do they know that the Fratellis, that is where they've moved in, and they are...
The one abandoned building.
The one abandoned building in this town is where they
are... And the cops
are
like,
restarting their counterfeiting, you know, business.
$50 bills.
$50 bills. They're fake. $50 bills! So they go, and Bran finally catches up with them, and then the two girls show up, and they find their way down below the
restaurant,
and they start their trek to finding One-Eyed Willie's treasure. And they get split up from Chunk, but there is a great scene, because there are two, I guess you could say they're two detectives. You don't know who they are. They walk into the restaurant before the kids show up, and then you hear a gunshot. So they take one body out, and then they had one body in the freezer. Yes. And Chunk finds the ice cream in the freezer with the dead guy with the gunshot right through his head. I love that. And then he gets trapped in the freezer with the guy. The guy's just like the face is on top of him. He's like,
Ronnie would still be eating the ice cream.
Chunk would have been too. Yeah. I mean, he was just, you know, the guy even was like making out with him.
Yeah.
You know, the dead guy was like, you know,
if
all
I
over
was
him.
Locked in there, you're telling me you wouldn't?
I'm not a big ice cream guy, so like,
really?
Yeah, no. I worked in an ice cream parlor for 4 years.
That's true.
You kind of lose a taste for it when you smell like it.
Do you smell like it?
I used to. Yeah. Oh, you'd come home from work smelling like ice cream.
I don't know. I used to work at a pizzeria, and I still eat pizza all day every day.
It's totally different. Okay. Anywho, keep going.
Okay.
The Goonies.
So they start their trek, and Chunk is taken captive by the Fratellis.
Do you know why Chunk reminds me of Ronnie?
Why?
Because if Ronnie was ever kidnapped, they would be tempted to just give him back because he would be that annoying. But they also threaten to violently mutilate this child.
Yeah.
Well, they hold his hand over like a blender.
Yep.
And the mother's like, confess to everything. Okay. One time I stood over the balcony of the theater and I pretended to throw up and then
Everybody else started throwing up.
It's a great scene.
I stole my uncle's toupee and I glued it to my face because I was, I can't remember who he was playing in this. Yeah. Oh, he's playing Moses in his, yes, his like, church like play. And he's just spouting all these things off. But there is one thing that he ad-libbed when he escapes and he goes to the road and he flags down the car, yeah, not realizing that it's Vitelli's in the car. He turns on the light and he realizes who it is and he just starts like saying, I think it's Hebrew. He starts like saying a prayer in Hebrew.
Yep. And then he starts singing.
Because yeah, he's actually a true opera singer, that guy, Robert Davi.
Oh, look at that. Learn something new today.
But is there any specific, I guess, would you say, part of their trek that you like the best? Like, you know, the you know, what scene was the best for you?
For me, I like the organ scene. It's that very, it's very tense. Yes. We also get the right before it, you know, the guys fall on their wieners. Yeah. So that's anytime a guy gets hit in the junk, it's always funny.
Yes. Oh yeah. And then I think they had the like the Looney Tunes sound effect to that, like where he gets punched with the
The boxing glove. The only other getting hit in the junk scene that makes me laugh harder is the one in Little Giants when he goes to tackle his wife.
Damn.
And he goes,
oh, that one.
No, and he goes through the window and he lands on it. He goes, oh, doctor.
I forgot just, about that.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about when the kid gets kicked at the nuts.
No, because ironically, it's funnier the second time when he's so scared of it.
Yeah.
But anywho, that's whenever I think of like the booby traps kind of thing, it's either that scene or the scene underneath the wishing well.
That's what I said, booby trap.
Yeah. Booby. But anyway, or the scene with the wishing well.
The wishing well.
Because Mouth, you know, Mouth has his like dramatic moments and all that stuff. But what about you, Ryan? And back to Sean.
Yeah. So I would kind of agree with you. I was thinking before you even said it, the organ scene or with the slick shoes.
Slick shoes.
Yeah.
Slick shoes. Slick shoes. Slick shoes. I love the water slide. I wish I could be on a water sled like that. That, like, you know, that's an amusement park ride that was never made. I would have loved that. Mm. The piano, the organ scene is I think it's close to iconic. Just that's the skeleton.
Yeah.
The way the organ looks. I love that. And what's the other one? The wishing well is good because you get the comeuppance for you know, when he thinks he's pulling them out and he just sends his jacket up.
Yeah.
And he just
screams
at the top of his lungs, "You goonies!" But
got him
good.
Yep.
But they, when they get to the pirate ship, I mean, that's up there with Hook in terms of just a practical, built pirate ship. It even says they did not let the kids see that thing till the day they shot it, because they wanted to actually capture their shock at what it looked like and stuff like that.
Was anybody else really uncomfortable with how much Mikey would talk to One-Eyed Willie, even when like he didn't find the decaying body of One-Eyed Willie?
Yeah. Oh, no.
I always thought that was a little
weird. For someone
who
just got introduced to the whole notion of One-Eyed
Willie.
We got you
now, One-Eyed Willie.
He became very friendly with One-Eyed Willie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen dead bodies.
He probably still talks to One-Eyed Willie today.
It's something different when you get older.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Step right up to see the one-eyed monster. But
his one-eyed monster.
Yeah. I do. The scene's great, but where's the octopus? So for those of you guys who don't know, there is a deleted scene where they actually face off against an octopus guarding the ship.
Yeah.
They cut the scene out.
Yeah.
But then Data still references it when they're reunited with their families. There was a giant octopus.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but it's not actually in the movie.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's like, okay,
didn't
happen. But I think we got to talk about the iconic scene of Sloth, you know, appearing with Chunk. You get the famous, hey, you guys, and then you get the dramatic music, which is taken from Captain Blood from the 30s.
Yeah, it's when people think of the Goonies, like, as much as we talked about like some of our favorite scenes, that is probably the most iconic part of the movie.
Yeah.
And just, you know, Sloth was a hero and we loved Sloth.
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
imagine your kid makes friends with this guy and then says, you're coming to live with us now.
I'd be like,
in the shed?
Yeah.
Like, no. What?
Yeah, right.
No.
That's like, because like Chunk's like, you're going to come live with us right now. And Chunk's dad's like right there, like, yeah, man. What's up?
Yeah.
Like, that's cool.
I would have loved to seen like a sequel with
Chunk
the
and
Adventures
Sloth.
Of Chunk and Sloth.
Yeah, that's a sitcom waiting to happen.
For some reason, it made me think of the scene at the end of Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, with
in the shed, they're playing PlayStation.
And he goes to bite him and goes, no.
No.
I love when Sloth pulls open his shirt and you get the Superman logo. And then the music plays. And then the two brothers are just like, oh, we're in trouble.
Yep.
They know. We're in trouble.
Jump rope, Sloth.
This movie was so perfectly cast. I thought everybody hit their roles perfectly. Like, each actor played their character differently. No one was, like, similar in the way they were playing their character. Everybody had a different personality. The villains were great. I mean, the two brothers were hysterical, both fighting each other. The mother is she's a cartoon character herself. Yeah. I mean, even the way they were walking down in the, you know, as they were chasing them, it just looked like something out of, like, a, you know, Looney Tunes cartoon. It was just so well done. So good. And the music, too, was great.
Oh, yeah.
But the, I'm trying to look up, I'll see when this movie was released and how much it did.
It did, had a budget of $19 million, and it got $125 million.
Wow. Okay.
June 7th, 1985. So it was a summer blockbuster almost.
Yeah.
But
summer 1985. It was. Sorry, I'm just seeing what it was up against. If it was up against any other big movies at the time, it grossed $9 million its opening weekend, second on the charts behind Rambo: First Blood Part Two.
What a combo!
Seriously, you know. But so this movie has become, I think, I wouldn't even call it a cult classic. I think that's actually not true to what it is. I just think it's a true classic.
Mm-hmm.
I think we toss around the term cult classic a lot.
You can't say it's a cult classic because typically cult classics don't do well financially.
Yes, I
agree. And also typically they're not in the common lexicon. Like, it's not people talk about this.
That's what I'm saying.
Movie.
I think we throw the term. You hear a lot of people say cult classic, and I just think that term has really kind of taken off from people.
Especially considering this film got put into the National Registry.
Yes.
In the Library of Congress for being culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant.
So right there, you know, that is right there. It's just a true classic. Mm-hmm. Absolutely true classic.
Thank you, Sean.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it.
You got this.
Of course, when we talk about 80s movies, you always worry about the dreaded R word.
Oh, can't even say it no more.
No. Mm-hmm. No, not that.
Wrangle?
No.
Oh, that starts with a W. That's right.
No. You thought I was going in a totally different direction.
Yeah. And then I panicked and...
Remake.
Remake. I was just trying to be...
I was thinking of the other R word.
I think that's what he was thinking of, too. And I was like...
I'll admit it.
I was like, no, the dreaded R word.
Rambo.
So this movie has always been... I don't know if remake's the right word, but definitely sequel. They've been talking about a sequel for this movie for years, and it never came to fruition. It got to the point where... Because, I mean, Richard Donner passed away... 5-ish years ago, I think. But he hasn't directed since 16 Blocks back in 2006. I think that was the last movie he directed. But it was just, again, it's like, you know, do we make a sequel? Do we bring these kids back? Do we bring the same kids back as adults? Do we reboot this? What do we do?
Don't touch it.
I agree.
Leave it alone.
I agree. So it got to, I mean, all the way up to about 2012 was the last time they announced that it was actually in the works, but then it just fell through. But as of 2020, you know, right when the COVID hit, Josh Gad aired a virtual cast reunion via Zoom as one of his first episodes of his Reunited Apart. So he did a lot of, like, movie reunions and stuff on Zoom throughout the COVID pandemic, and he actually got pretty much all the living cast members to appear, as well as Steven Spielberg and Chris Columbus. So and Cyndi Lauper, who made the song, the I guess you could say the theme song for the movie. So this movie is just in the lexicon for anybody who grew up, you know, in the 90s, in the 80s. It's being passed down generations, and it'll continue to be done. I mean, like, as we said earlier, we wouldn't have Stranger Things without this movie. You know, we wouldn't have, you know, other, you know, famous things without it. It's just one of those movies that just lives on.
Yeah.
But any other guys have any other things you want to add?
No, I think nail, head, hammered,
what?
Phrasing.
Alrighty then. Well, Paul, do we have any fan feedback for Friday?
Heck yeah, we do.
Heck yeah, we do.
What movie was so bad that you never finished it, Ronnie?
Do you guys do ratings of the movies?
Oh, thank you. Star City rating. My bad. I apologize. I should never host again for that. Paul's hosting from now on.
About that,
Paul. Star City rating for The Goonies.
Out of 5.
Yeah,
7.
I like it.
No,
I like your logic, sir.
I will give it a solid 4 out of 5. It is just such a good time, and it's Like, if you like movies, you like this movie. There's, you're hard pressed to find people who don't enjoy this movie in some capacity.
If you say anything bad about the Goonies, you haven't seen the Goonies. Mm-hmm. That's the way I feel.
Yeah.
Or your girlfriend dumped you for a Goonie.
That's true.
As in the case of Andy.
Yeah.
But were they dating? I don't think they were dating.
I think he was trying to. Wasn't he checking, like, going, looking at her shirt or something?
Through the rearview mirror.
Perfect. Yep. Yeah. But yeah, 4 out of 5.
Ronnie.
I'm going to agree. 4 out of 5. Like I said at the beginning of the show, this is just a classic that will never get old, that you have to have your kids watch, their kids, so on and so forth. You know, and it is quotable. Not like super quotable, but there's, you know, your quotes or at least like scenes that you can like shout out and mm-hmm. someone will be like, oh, that's the Goonies and stuff. So I think that's just a testament of how good this movie is. Yes, it definitely has flaws in it. But the good stuff far outweighs that. So 4 out of 5 for me.
Right, I'm gonna go 4.5.
Oh my God, this guy.
What?
For once.
Every now and then, I gotta actually like a movie, guys. I'm sorry. It's gotta be different. I gotta be. I'm sorry. You know, or else, you know, people think this podcast is boring. You know, they're gonna go to one of the other podcasts that we do and, you know, raise those numbers high.
I'm fine.
Yeah, you're fine. I'm barely on that podcast. So, you know what? I'd like to, you know, actually do something that's good.
So 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah, thank you. You went down the rabbit hole, not me.
I'm sitting.
But this movie is, to me, this movie is just all around really, really good. Excellent directing, excellent screenplay. The cast is great. The sets, all of that is fantastic. And it's just, I can't say it anymore. It's just a damn good time of a movie. Like, it's just fun. And there's nothing, it's not teaching you anything. It's not, you know, driving anything down your throat. It is just, here are these kids. They're on a treasure hunt. Boom. They're having a good time.
Movie. Go.
Movie. Go. Yeah. I mean, it is the definition. When you look up 80s movies in the dictionary, to me, this is probably in the top 5.
Oh, I agree completely.
Top 5. I can't say it's top 1.
Yeah.
I can't go there yet. If I think about it, maybe, but right now, it's top 5. So, all right. Paul, I apologize. Fan Feedback Friday.
What movie was so bad that you didn't finish it? Sean, did you have one?
I do. Okay, I'm going to go with a movie that came out in 2008. It's called Burn After Reading. It was god awful. God awful.
Yeah, that's fair. Polar Express.
Really?
It's terrifying.
That doesn't make a bad movie.
I never finished it. I just did not get into it. I never enjoyed it.
When it first came out, or are you seeing it later on?
Both. I've tried.
I meant for the first time. You saw it when it came out, or you saw it for the first time?
Oh, later on. Older on. Yeah, when I was later, a little bit older.
Gotcha.
Our friend Matt said Three Christs. Never heard of this movie.
I've heard of it. Yeah. But of course, I've heard firsthand how bad that movie is.
Holmes and Watson. That's another movie that I tried to watch
that's
the first.
That's the Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I think I have one more from somebody who I don't really like. Jack and Jill.
That was me.
But I will.
Jack and Jill is kind of.
I have watched that movie in its entirety, and it is painful.
Jack and Jill.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Adam Sandler's that are hard to watch.
But you know what? I find myself it's very rare for me to not finish a movie once I start watching it.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
Like it happens. Well, yeah. But
I don't know if you ever asked this question. Have you ever walked out of a movie?
We did, yes. You did ask. Yeah, that was, I think, I Matt think... Matt wrote Street Fighter on that.
I don't think I've ever walked out of a movie.
I paid for it. I'm there.
Exactly. I paid for this popcorn. I paid for this movie. I'm going to sit there and maybe not pay attention, but
I don't think I've ever thought a movie was bad enough to walk out of.
You know what movie I did walk out of, though, just because I got scared? It's a Sixth Sense.
Okay.
That movie, that movie terrified me.
That's a different term of walking out of a movie, but... All right, well, this was fun.
Fun's a word.
Good for you, Paul. See?
We know words.
Going to Mayapak really, really did good for you.
Did well.
Did good for him, too.
Did gooder for me.
I like dude good.
Did good.
Did good.
You done did good, kid.
Alrighty then. So, as always, I am Sean.
I'm Paul.
I'm Ronnie.
Oh, that's great. How are you?
All right, so, yeah.
We'll see you next time, I guess.
I'm tired. What do you want from me?
Bye.